You're listening to All Things Cage at Waveform's WGXC 90.7 FM, Radio for Open Ears. I'm your host, Laura Kuhn, director of the John Cage Trust, and tonight we'll be listening to an extraordinary performance of Cage's Lecture on the Weather, which I directed for a John Cage Trust production at Bard College on September 28th, 2007, to commemorate the John Cage Trusts having gone into residential placement at Bard College earlier that year. We've referenced this work before on All Things Cage, most recently in a program marking the 20th anniversary of 9/11. In that program, we were interested in looking at Cage's prescience and his aspirational thought, and we focused our attention on the ideas that were being expressed both in the performer's parts, derived from Thoreau's writings, as well as in Cage's preface. We also took a look at a much earlier text work, Cage's Other People Think, which he wrote and delivered in 1927, representing Los Angeles High School at the Southern California Oratorical Society at the Hollywood Bowl in his native Los Angeles. Cage's essay was a striking critique of U.S. relations with Latin America. This evening, we're going to listen to Lecture on the Weather in its entirety, inclusive of its preface, and as performed by a stellar cast. But first, some refresher background. John Cage became best known for his use of chance operations, a compositional practice which emanated in the very early 1950s out of his study of Eastern philosophies and especially Zen Buddhism. It was a compositional practice with a strong spiritual and philosophical basis. Cage used chance procedures as a means toward self-discovery, of overcoming his own tastes and biases and habits. But he also used chance as a means of discovering, both in himself and in those for whom he composed, how one might become more genuinely useful in the world, to oneself, to others, and to the larger complex environment that was for him the second half of the 20th century. John Cage's Lecture on the Weather from 1975 is comprised of materials for an unconducted radio broadcast or theatrical performance with sounds of breeze, rain, and thunder, and a film representing lightning by means of briefly projected negatives of drawings by Henry David Thoreau. It was commissioned by the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation in observance of the bicentennial of the United States of America, and was composed in collaboration with Louis Frangella, film, and Marianne Amiche, weather sounds. Originally, it was to be performed by 12 expatriate American men who had left the country during the Vietnam War. And after Cage's reading of his preface, the performers begin, variously intoning text fragments, with or without the ad-lib playing of instruments, from the journals of Henry David Thoreau. In part one, this is accompanied by sounds of wind, and in part two by sounds of rain. In a theatrical setting, in part three, the lights in the hall begin to dim, and the performers are joined on stage by sounds of thunder, along with the projection of Frangella's film, which consists of drawings by Thoreau, printed in negative, the erratic and dramatic projection of which resembles lightning or white on black. The performers agree, prior to performance, on a total duration of the work ranging from at least 22 minutes and 45 seconds, which is 5 times 4 minutes and 33 seconds, to a maximum of 36 minutes and 24 seconds, which is 8 times 4 minutes and 33 seconds. Each performer creates his or her own program of chance-determined materials, as well as his or her own starts and stops. Hence, no two performances of this work will ever be quite the same. In some respects, Lecture on the Weather is an atypical work for Cage in its overtly political tone. It came about as a commission from the CBC in 1975, which wanted to work in observance of America's bicentennial. Cage chose to create a piece that would engage as performers 12 expatriate American men who had settled in Canada during and shortly after the Vietnam War. As you will hear in his preface, which begins any performance, Cage used this work as an opportunity to articulate his dissatisfaction with American government. His observations are noteworthy, both for the sentiments expressed, prescient and still timely, from our current perspective, but also that he said them out loud. By the end of his life, Cage didn't really favor critical response, preferring instead composition. If you don't like something, the proper response, in his view, would be to make something better. But Cage's preface to Lecture on the Weather is not the only place a political statement is being made. What Cage also did, here and elsewhere, was to embed political ideas into the very forms and practices of his composition. Lecture on the Weather, like virtually all of his works from the 1950s forward, was conceived through a variety of chance means, and it comprises a delicate balance between so-called law elements and freedom elements. That is to say, law elements where it was felt they were needed, freedom elements everywhere else. The performance we'll hear in tonight's recording comprise a stellar mix of longtime Cage friends and collaborators and our new Bard colleagues, who ranged from its president, Leon Botstein, to student musicians from both the Conservatory of Music and the music program within the Department of Music. The roster is as follows, in alphabetical order. John Ashbery, Leon Botstein, Casey Brazeau, Merce Cunningham, Sage Fuller Coles, Ari Fenton, Daniel Fishkin, John Kelly, Gary Kvistad, Robert Martin, Sean Patrick Moore, Michael Rouse, John Ralston Saul, Tristan Shepherd, Richard Teitelbaum, and Zeke Ferrant. My own life partner, Ralph Benko, served as understudy for them all. It might be noted that Jasper Johns looms large in this realization, starting us off in the most extraordinary manner. His comprehensive retrospective, Mind Mirror, is currently on view at two partnering venues, the Philadelphia Museum of Art and the Whitney Museum of American Art in New York. Both run until February 13, 2022. Also with us was Marianne Amiche, who created live and anew the simulated weather sounds just as she had for the original 1976 production in Canada. Amiche was long on faculty at Bard College. She passed away in 2009. Her close friend and collaborator, the Brazilian artist Luis Frangella, was represented only by his film, as he had passed away in 1990, an early victim of AIDS. Joan Ritalik, also long on faculty at Bard College, whose important Music Cage, Cage Muses on Words, Art, Music, comprised of Conversations with John Cage, was published by Wesleyan University Press in 1996, served as dramaturg. Well, I hope to have Joan Ritalik as a guest on All Things Cage soon. Suffice it to say here that she has lectured widely and published many other essays on the work of Cage, with particular attention to the relation of his experimental attitude to developments in 20th century science, utopian aesthetics, and global sociopolitics. She has served as dramaturg for multiple performances of Cage's Lecture on the Weather. Her visual constructions and word compositions have been shown and performed in many venues, including the Guggenheim Soho, in association with Cage's Roly-Holy Over a Circus, the Corcoran Gallery of Art, and the Philadelphia Museum of Art, among others. It's always a great privilege to work with her. Now, on to Lecture on the Weather.
The first thing I thought of doing in relation to this work was to find an anthology of American aspirational thought and subject it to chance operations. I thought the resultant complex would help to change our present intellectual climate. I called up Dover and asked whether they published such an anthology. They didn't. I called a part of Columbia University concerned with American history and asked about aspirational thought. They knew nothing about it. I called the information desk of the New York Public Library at 42nd Street. The man who answered said, "You may think I'm not serious, but I am. If you're interested in aspiration, go to the Children's Library on 52nd Street." I did. I found that anthologies for children are written by adults. They're what adults think are good for children. The thickest one was edited by Commager, Documents of American History. It is a collection of legal judgments, presidential reports, congressional speeches. I began to realize that what is called balance between the branches of our government is not balance at all. All the branches of our government are occupied by lawyers. Of all professions, the law is the least concerned with aspiration. It is concerned with precedent, not with discovery, with what was witnessed at one time in one place, and not with vision and intuition. When the law is corrupt, it is corrupt because it concentrates its energy on protecting the rich from the poor. Justice is out of the question. That is why not only aspiration, but intelligence, as in the work of Buckminster Fuller, and conscience, as in the thought of Thoreau, are missing in our leadership. Our leaders are concerned with the energy crisis. They assure us they will find new sources of oil. Not only will Earth's reservoir of fossil fuels soon be exhausted, their continued use continues the ruin of the environment. Our leaders promise they will solve the unemployment problem. They will give everyone a job. It would be more in the spirit of Yankee ingenuity, more American, to find a way to get all the work done that needs to be done without anyone's lifting a finger. Our leaders are concerned with inflation and insufficient cash. Money, however, is credit. And credit is confidence. We have lost confidence in one another. We could regain it tomorrow by simply changing our minds. Therefore, even though the occasion for this piece is the bicentennial of the USA, I have chosen to work again with the writings of Henry David Thoreau. Those excerpts which are used were not selected to stress any particular points, but were obtained by means of E. King chance operations from Walden, from the Journal, and from the essay on civil disobedience. Thoreau lived not 200 years ago, but for 44 years only, beginning 159 years ago. In 1968, I wrote as follows: "Reading Thoreau's journal, I discover any idea I've ever had worth its salt." In 1862, Emerson wrote, "No truer American existed than Thoreau. If he brought you yesterday a new proposition, he would bring you today another, not less revolutionary." In 1929, Gandhi wrote that he had found the essay on civil disobedience so convincing and truthful that as a young man in South Africa preparing to devote his life to the liberation of India, he had felt the need to know more of Thoreau and so had studied the other writings. In 1958, Martin Luther King Jr. wrote these words: "As I thought further, I came to see that what we were really doing was withdrawing our cooperation from an evil system, rather than merely withdrawing our economic support from the bus company. The bus company, being an external expression of the system, would naturally suffer. But the basic aim was to refuse to cooperate with evil. At this point, I began to think about Thoreau's essay on civil disobedience. I remembered how, as a college student, I had been moved when I first read this work. I became convinced that what we were preparing to do in Montgomery was related to what Thoreau had expressed. We were simply saying to the white community, we can no longer lend our cooperation to an evil system. On December 8, 1859, Thoreau himself wrote as follows. 200 years ago is about as great an antiquity as we can comprehend or often have to deal with. It is nearly as good as 2,000 to our imaginations. It carries us back to the days of Aborigines and the Pilgrims, beyond the limits of oral testimony, to history which begins already to be enameled with a gloss of fable, and we do not quite believe what we read, to a strange style of writing and spelling and of expression, to those ancestors whose names we do not know and to whom we are related only as we are to the race generally. It is the age of our very oldest houses and cultivated trees, nor is New England very peculiar in this. In England also, a house 200 years old, especially if it be a wooden one, is pointed out as an interesting relic of the past. I have wanted in this work to give another opportunity for us, whether of one nation or another, to examine again, as Thoreau continually did, ourselves, both as individuals and as members of society, and the world in which we live, whether it be concord in Massachusetts or discord in the world, as our nations apparently, for their continuance, as though they were children playing games, prefer to have it. It may seem to some that through the use of chance operations, I run counter to the spirit of Thoreau and 76, and revolution for that matter. The fifth paragraph of Walden speaks against blind obedience to a blundering oracle. However, chance operations are not mysterious sources of the right answers. They are a means of locating a single one among a multiplicity of answers, and at the same time of freeing the ego from its taste and memory, its concern for profit and power, of silencing the ego so that the rest of the world has a chance to enter into the ego's own experience, whether that be outside or inside. I have given this work the proportions of my silent piece, which I wrote in 1952, though I was already thinking of it earlier. When I was 12, I wrote a speech called Other People Think, which proposed silence on the part of the USA as preliminary to the solution of its Latin American problems. Even then, our industrialists thought of themselves as the owners of the world, of all of it, not just the part between Mexico and Canada. Now our government thinks of us also as the policemen of the world, no longer rich policemen, just poor ones, but nonetheless on the side of the good and acting as though possessed of the power. The desire for the best and the most effective in connection with the highest profits and the greatest power led to the fall of nations before us. Rome, Britain, Hitler's Germany, those were not chance operations. We would do well to give up the notion that we alone can keep the world in line, that only we can solve its problems. More than anything else, we need communion with everyone. Struggles for power have nothing to do with communion. Communion extends beyond borders. It is with one's enemies also, Thoreau said, "The best communion men have is in silence." Our political structures no longer fit the circumstances of our lives. Outside the bankrupt cities, we live in megalopolis, which has no geographical limits. Wilderness is global park. I dedicate this work to the USA, that it may become just another part of the world, no more, no less.
In literature, it is only the wild that attracts us. Dullness is only another name for tameness. It is the untamed, uncivilized, free, and wild thinking in Hamlet, in the Iliad, and in all the scriptures and mythologies that delight us. Not learned in the schools, not refined and polished by art.
I have contemplated the
a truly good book
rather than the siege
is something as wildly natural and primitive.
They who assert the purest right and consequently are most dangerous
the nature,
to a
I would say,
state.
That she never recognizes the simple heroism property. Of an action.
In the morning I watched
if there were one who connected without the use of money, apparent, the state itself would hesitate to demand it.
Consequence.
But the rich man
it praises the interested energy like an of the Boston Tea Party,
institution which makes him rich.
But will be comparatively silent
absolutely
about the more bloody and disinterested heroic
for
attack
money comes between a man and when they had
on the Boston courthouse.
And it
circled about over my head,
and it was certainly no great virtue to obtain it.
And then steered straight to
it puts
Canada.
To rest many what questions which he would otherwise be taxed to answer.
Several days to
the only new question which
when
it
the sky was
is
completely
the hard
overcast,
but superfluous
the air was
one.
Full of mist.
How to
I
spend
observed
it.
The pond was remarkably smooth.
Thus his so moral
was
ground was taken
the
mist.
From the leader.
There were no opportunities of
mysterious
break portion of the somber
and marvelous.
Indeed, a considerable
part
of Virginia today.
The best thing is
as a fungus,
afraid of their own
endeavor to carry out.
Or if one listens to the famous and constant suggestions of his genius, which are certainly true, he sees not to what extreme even insanity, and yet that way
to turn his views to literature,
his road lies. But the faintest assured objection which one healthy man feels
would he
at length prevail over the arguments and customs of mankind. No man ever followed his genius
fault of our books and
the result were bodily weakness,
never
yet perhaps no one can say that the consequences were to be regretted, for these were life in conformity to higher principles. If the day and the night are such that you greet them with joy, and life is
in
a fragrance,
I want something speaking in some measure to the condition of muscles and skull.
Your congratulations, and you have caused momentarily
as well as
to
have been.
With these finest tools, the
and birds fly with songs,
not merely
and fancy
I say to that I speak within bounds,
and complaining
of the birds of the air,
coteries of philanthropists,
you have laid up something against a rainy day.
As
in
every season seems best
society,
to us in its
not
turn,
more than one half
so the coming
the
in of spring
own a
is
shelter.
Like the creation of cosmic
I live
I
alone
mean
chaos
to insist
and
the
realization
on the
of the golden age.
A mile from any neighbor,
east wind withheld to
but
a roar
in a house
and
the savage owns
which I had
the
built
earth,
myself,
costs
and
so
the ridges placed
while
under
the civilized
the
man
shore
hires his
golden was born.
Perhaps we should never procure a new
Massachusetts.
However ragged or...
And earned my living
cause he cannot
by the labor
afford to
of my hands
only.
Nor can
dirty
he,
the old,
in the long run,
until
any
we
better
have
afford
so conducted, so enterprised, or sailed in some way that we feel like new men in.
It is a mistake to suppose that in a country where the usual evidences of civilization
the old,
exist, the condition
and
of
that
a very
to
large
retain
body
it would be like
may not be as degraded as that of savages. I refer to the
I lived there 2 years and 2 months.
To know this, I should not need to look farther than to the shanties which
keeping
I have
new wine in.
I am a sojourner in civilized life again.
Old bottles.
All winter with an open I door. Now first
our
began
season, without any visible like that of the
to
fowls,
inhabit my house.
Must be a crisis
undoubtedly
in
this
rights.
Case. What is true for one is true still for a thousand. As a large house is not proportionately more
when I began to use it
since one roof may
it is hard
as well as shelter
cover so
one
simple and clean
underlie,
a diet
and one
as
wall
will not offend the imagination.
I would not talk.
But
one
for this, I think, is to be said when we feed the body.
My dwelling,
both sit
if
down
there were anybody
the
else,
was small.
Yes, her half is maybe done. It is not a reproach that man is a carnivorous animal.
And when you have done this,
true, he can and does live.
And I could hardly entertain an echo in it.
As anyone who will go to snaring rabbits or slaughtering lambs may learn, and he will be regarded
I have
as a benefactor.
One November afternoon, in the calm at the end of a rainstorm of several days' duration, when the sky was still completely overcast and the air was
whatever my own practice may be, I have no doubt
smooth,
that it is
it
difficult to
distinguish
of the human race.
Though it no longer reflected the brightness of October, but the somber November colors of the stars and veils.
Though
I passed over it as gently as possible, the slight undulations produced by my boat extended almost as far as I could see and gave a ribbed appearance to the reflection
of the world.
But as I was looking over the surface, I saw here and there a faint glimmer, as if some skater insect which had escaped the frost might be collected there, or perchance the surface being so smooth, the treasure of spring well left on the bottom. Paddling gently to one of these places, I was surprised to find myself surrounded by myriads of small perch about 5 inches long of a rich bronze color in green water, sporting the air and constantly rising to the surface and dipping in it, sometimes even bubbling in it. And such transparent of silver about this water, reflecting the clouds, it seemed to be floating through the air of an arena, and their swimming and pressing as a kind of flight or hovering, as if they were a compact flock of birds passing just beneath my level on the right or left, and
every family owns a shelter as good as the best,
all around them,
and sufficient for its coarser and simpler wants.
I come to my solitary woodland walk as the homesick go home. I thus dispose of the superfluous and see things as they are, grand and beautiful. I've told many that I walk every day about half the daylight, but I think they do not believe it.
Chained for life.
I wish to get the Concord,
the
Massachusetts, the America, out of my head, and be a slave to the same.
What is a country without
I think that I speak within bounds when I say that, though the birds of the air have their nests, and the foxes their holes,
ancient
and
the venerable families know to
in modern civilized society, not more than one half of the family's own shelter. I do not mean to insist here on the disadvantage of hiring compared with owning, but it is evident that the savage owns his shelter because
the slave woman and her child between his prison and the gallows, the preachers, the Bible men, they who talk about principle and doing to others as you would that they should do unto you, how could they fail to recognize him by far the greatest preacher of them all, with the Bible on his lips and in his acts, the embodiment of principle who actually carried out the golden rule? All whose moral sense is aroused, who have a calling from on high to preach, decided.
I see now as he saw.
It was not even possible to
see me in that
On the day of his translation, I heard from the shore that he was hung, but I did not know what that meant, and I felt no sorrow on his account. And not for a day or two did I even hear that he was dead, and not after any number of days did I believe it.
By hearing of this,
all the men who were said to be my contemporaries,
that does not understand you.
He's the only one who has not died.
To let you
meet him at every turn, he is more alive than ever he was. He is not confined to North Elba, Kansas. He is no longer working in secret.
All our
immortality. Two men have been hung in the South before for attempting to rescue slaves. The North was not much stirred by it. Whence then his wonderful distance? You are not so sure of their devotion to their trouble. He has made a subtle distinction.
I have forgotten the government
come and do homage to an idea. The North is suddenly all transcendental. It goes behind the human law. It goes behind the apparent failure and recognizes the eternal justice and glory. It is more generous in the spirit which activated our forefathers.
The newspapers are the ruling power.
On behalf of another and an oppressed
people. What Congress does is an afterclass.
It would be difficult to choose between places.
That bird settles with confidence.
How did he travel? How genuine an experience did he get? For traveling is, in the main, like as if you stayed at home. And then the question is, how do you live and conduct yourself at home? What I mean is that it might be hard.
That bird will not be poultry.
To decide whether I would travel to Lake Superior, or Labrador, or Florida. Perhaps
lays
none would be
no
worthwhile
for you.
If I went by the evening. But if I travel in a simple, primitive,
forever
hides
its nest.
Standing in a true relation to men and nature, travel away from the old and the commonplace, get some honest experience of life, if only out of my feet and homesickness, and it becomes less important whither I go and how far.
Though willed,
perhaps it is easier
wild.
To live a true and natural life while traveling.
The very glow of continually translates
some of my pleasures.
To be
in company, even with the best, is soon very
even ice begins with
which
delicate
confined me to the house.
I loved to be alone.
As if it had flowed into molds,
the universe
the fronds of
I never
water
found
flowers,
a companion that was so companionable
in twilight,
as solitude.
The whole tree itself
the
is which one
for the most
had
part
timed,
more
and rivers
when we
are still vaster
men,
leaves whose pulp
when we
is
in
our
heavy
thunder shower and
or
towns
the lightning
and
struck
cities.
A large
a
man
pitch
thinking
the
or striking is always
in their
making
accent.
A very
let
him be
perfectly
where
regular
he will.
Spiral
as if all
from top
solitude
to bottom,
is not measured by the miles
deep.
Of space
and four
that
or five
consistent
a man and his fellows
as you would groove
in
a walking stick.
The really diligent student in one
I
of the crowded
again
hives
the other day.
Of Cambridge College
was struck with awe.
Walden
is, as
is blue,
as
and beholding that he has always
now
a charm.
At
one time,
where a terrific
and
resistless bulb
in
the field
ready for their extermination and green,
then frequently say to me,
because
I should see
one
feel lonesome down there,
while
and
when
want to be near to
a nice,
is a civilization
other than I am tempted to reply to such a
even from the same point of view.
Thank you. Well, the two most distant inhabitants of yonder star, the breadth of whose distance cannot be appreciated by
lying between the earth.
Why should I feel
The large sugar maples on the common are now at the height of their beauty. And about 10 days ago, all but one of these was quite green, and I thought they would not have flowered any bright tint.
The color of the sky,
warmer than golden yellow, is the prevailing color with scarlet cheeks. They are great, regular, yellow masses of yellow and scarlet. All the sugar maples are the same as we absorbed in their leaves. There is an option on the common, but its red flag is hard to be discerned amid this blaze of color.
When I came to build my chimney, I studied research
next to the bowls of the most delicate yellow and green, as usual, like the complexion of young men brought up in the house.
So that I learned more than usual of the
little that the fathers of the town anticipate this brilliant success,
and they cause to be embittered to further
an accustomed sign of straight bowls with the tops
cut off.
And they were The one of the select men did take the coal, which occasioned his death in setting them out. If only because they had filled the open eyes of children with their discovery, so instinctively, so many autumns. We will not ask them to yield us sugar in the spring, while they yield us so fair a prospect in the autumn. Wealth may be the inheritance of few in the houses, but it is equally distributed on the common. All children alike need reverence. Not requiring any special police to keep the peace. And poor indeed must be that New England village of October, which has not been made to make street. This October festival costs no private or ringing of bells, but every tree is a liberty horn on which a thousand bright flags are raised. Of children's eyes are steadily drinking in this color, and by these teachers, even the truants are taught and educated the moment they step abroad. Is it if some cheap and lessened gala day were celebrated in our town every autumn, a week or two of such
things? Put to it for room. He brought his own knife, though I had two. And we used to scour them like deserted thrusting them into the earth.
Old then a light
he shared with me the labors of cooking.
Where once
I was soon to see my work rising so square,
Indeed, neither the truant nor the studious are at present taught colors in our schools. These are sudden bright colors in apothecary shops in the city window. It is a pity we have not more red maples and some hickories in the streets as well. Our paint box is very important. Instead of supplying paint boxes, I would supply these natural colors
to the shore.
And him too, to some extent.
I know of one man, at least, called an excellent and peculiarly successful farmer who has thoroughly repaired his house and built a new barn. Every farmer seems fated to have,
to the
who has not a single
clue
of any kind about his house or within a considerable distance of it. No annual training or muster of soldiery, no celebration with its scarfs and garters could import into the town a hundredth part of the annual splendor of our October.
And in the spring,
we have only to set the trees or let them stand, and
before
nature
the leaves
will find the
are expanded.
flags of all her nations, some of whose
and it may be simply the result of the prevailing blue.
Let us have a good many maples and hickories and scarlet oak,
mixed,
blaze away, shall that dirty roll of bundles of gunhouse be all the color the village can display?
The
village is not complete unless it has these trees to mark the season in it. They are as important as a town clock. Such a village will not be found to work well. It has a screw loose. An essential part is wanting. Let us have willows for spring, elms for summer, maples and walnuts and sucralose for autumn, evergreens for winter, and oaks for all seasons. What is a gallery in a house to a gallery in the streets? I think that there is not a picture gallery in the country which should be worth so much to us as is the western view under the elms of our main streets. They are the frame to a picture, and we are not in the dilemma of the Irishman who, having bought a costly gilt picture frame at an auction, found himself obliged to buy a picture at private sales to put into it. No, for our picture is already painted with each sunset behind us. An avenue of elms as large as our largest and 3 miles long would seem to lead to some admirable place, though only conquered. We're at the end of it. Such a street as I have described would be to the traveler, especially in October, which is ever-changing panorama.
I have lost some self-respect.
A village needs these innocent stimulants of light and cheery travelers to keep off melancholy
and people
calling.
So many two villages, one embowered in trees and blazing with all the glory of October, the other a merely trivial and fearless waste, and I should be sure that in the latter
the spring
and hardest drinking
as if a world
what if we were setting them on by the heat of the sun
so exactly
as we do in setting them out not
destructive
by our bodies
and
our
and also transmitted from the earth
which reached their half-century through
Melrose first
century and a half German
and the walls of narrow canal about the still frozen
at least we can do to supply them with suitable
like the rest of our
world
is much agitated in clear weather so that the surface of the waves may reflect the sky at the right angle.
Often running their hands under a leaf and mind only their mother's directions
even the little variety which I use.
But they declined him.
Nor will your approach make them run
they
away and betray themselves.
My fellow
you Phillips may even
was a yielding to the have your demands of appetite
overseer
without
man.
In the courthouse.
He is not normally a spring
nor living anywhere.
The latter sometimes
faculty of Harvard College.
And you can see where the first was checked, whether by cold or drought.
I realize
and
that I must
what there was
work for myself
to produce this check, this blight. So it is with man. Most have a spring growth only, and never get over this first check to their youthful hopes. But plants of hardier constitution, or perchance planted in a more genial soil.
As this business was to be entered into without the usual capital, it may not be easy to project to where those means that will still be indispensable to every such undertaking were to be obtained. As for clothing, to come at once to a practical part of the question, perhaps we are led oftener by the love of novelty and a regard for the opinions of men in procuring it, and by a true utility.
In June, the partridge was so shy of her,
to retain the vital heat, and secondly, in this state of society, to cover nakedness, and you may judge how much of any necessary or important work can be accomplished without adding to this work. Kings and queens who wear a suit at once, though made by some tailor or dressmaker to their majesty, do not know the comfort of wearing a suit to fit. They are no better than wooden horses to whom the garments are good. Every day our garments become
more precarious,
receiving a
mixed group of
garments. Until we hesitate to live inside, we appear to lay out a magnificent line of song with some such solemnity.
Of a god in our
songs.
I'm going to go to the next one.
I recognize the owner of the farm. He was only a little more weather-beaten than when I saw him last. I have heard of a dog that barked every stranger who approached his master's premises with clothes on. It was easily quieted by a naked thief. It is an interesting question how far men would retain their relative rank if they were divested of their clothes. Would you, in such a case, tell surely of any company of civilized men which belong to the most respected class? When Madame Pfeiffer, in her adventures, used to rest, she got so near home as she had a she said that she felt her necessity of wearing a man and family dress when she went to meet the authorities, for she was now a civilized country, her following judgment.
Which last appeared but bloody in comparison to the
It is vitreous, greenish,
blue.
As I remember it, like those patches of a winter sky, seen through cloud vistas in the west. Before sundown,
turkey, wonderful, wonderful is our silence,
and that of our companions.
I cannot but feel as if we be tamed and as twice emasculated.
How should it become a man with not the emotions of those natural animals?
Should it be
to
a state of society?
Have been in
I think it's
not without disgrace.
Is it not a maimed and imperfect nature that I am conversing with?
As if I were to study a tribe of Indians that had lost all its warriors.
Do not the forest and the meadow now lack discretion? Now that I never see nor think of the moose with the lesser forest on his head.
We come to being like us.
In the warm,
we know absolutely nothing of the origin and destiny.
All sensuality is one, though it takes many forms. All purity is one. It is the same whether a man eats or drinks or habits or sleeps sensually. They are but one appetite, and we only need to see a person do any one of these things to know how great a sensualism is.
This particular round of natural phenomena, which I call the air, is lamentably incomplete. And strength.
In any weather, at any hours of the day or night, I am anxious to improve the nick of time and notching on my stick, too, to stand on the meaning of two eternities, the past and the future, which is precisely the present moment that will toe that line to anticipate, not the surprise of the dawn nearly more possible. Nature of
the Fitchburg Railroad touches the pond about 100 miles south of Washington,
which I gather
to the village along the
road. Nature
and it has
are no longer
related to society by this link.
Because
on the freight train,
she is not
the
man.
The length of the road, bow to me as to an old acquaintance.
They pass
one
of
the
long
and the rare. They take me for an employee. And so I am.
Wrong
hill. May attract the man's heart.
As well as my own convictions, when I say that probably no country has ever
ruled
as mean a class of tyrants, even though the editors of the periodical press in this country,
though as intricate,
the shore is composed of a belt of smooth, rounded white stones like
paving,
except in one or two short sand beaches, and it's so steep that in many places a single leak will carry you into water over your head. And were it not for its remarkable transparency, that would be the last to be seen
and again,
till it rose on the opposite side.
It is a pathless state.
Talking with Walcott and Staples today, they declared that John Brown did wrong. When I said that John thought he was right, they agreed in asserting that he did wrong because he threw his life away, and that no man had a right to undertake anything which he knew would cost him his life. I inquired if Christ did not foresee that he would be crucified if he preached such doctrines as he did, but they both, though it was their only statement, asserted that they did not believe that he did. Of course, he as good as said that if Christ had foreseen that he would be crucified, he would have backed out.
And perch. But they
come to
wild
place
men who instinctively follow other fashions and trust other
the world of his race
their townsmen,
should
and
find
by their
them
goings and comings stitch towns together
separate,
in parts where else they would be ripped.
But how free and
they
honorable ground
eat their luncheon in
course,
stout
where the states
on the
places
dry
them
oak leaves
not
on the
with
shore
her,
as wise
but against
in natural
them
lore as the citizen is in artificial.
The
had for seen that
only house in a slave state
they never consult with
in which a free man
and know and can tell
can
much less than
abide
they have done.
With
the things
honor
which they practice are said not yet to be known.
If anything,
here is one fishing for pickerel with grown perch for bait. You look into his pair and wonder as into a summer
and
pond,
their voices
as if he kept summer locked up
no
at
longer
home or knew where
the
she
state
had retreated.
The end of the
how,
state.
Pray, did he get these in midwinter?
That they would not be
oh,
as
he got worms out of rotten logs since the ground froze.
Enemy within
oh,
its walls.
His life itself passes
they
deeper in nature than the studies of the naturalist
how truth
penetrate.
Is stronger
himself a subject
than
for the naturalist. The latter raises the moss
and how
bark
much more
gently with his knife in search of insects. The former
and
lays open logs to their core with his axe, and moss
he
and bark
come back
fly far and wide.
Injustice.
He gets his living by barking trees.
But experience
such a man has
a
some right to fish, and I love to see nature carried out in him. The perch swallows
cast
the grubworm,
your whole vote,
the pickerel
not a
swallows
strip of paper
the perch,
merely, but
the
your whole influence. A minority
so
is purposeless while it conforms to the majority. It is not even a minority then, but it is irresistibly when it closes by its will weight. If the alternatives to keep all just men in prison, in time of war and slavery,
I am not only grateful because
the state
Laius
will not hesitate
and Homer and Christ and Shakespeare have lived, but I am grateful for Minot and Rice
if
and Melvin
a thousand men
and Goodman
were to pay
and Puffer,
their tax bill
I see
this
Melvin
year,
all
that would not be a
alone
a
filling his sphere
and bloody
in russet
pleasure,
suit
as it would be
which no other could fill or suggest.
And enable the state
he takes up as
to
much room
violence
in nature as the most famous.
And hold blood.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.